Curious Conversations About Sex is brought to you by Curious Creatures, who run a variety of workshops on self-development and sexuality in Australia. My name is Rog. I'm still here. I still love you. Since we last spoke, a lot of extraordinary things have happened, resulting in me stopping workshops kind of abruptly and selling the practice lab. I'll probably say more about all or some of that stuff in a future episode, but for now, maybe as a sort of a down payment on some of that thematic material, let's listen back to an episode all the way from 2017 with Barbara Karelis and Cindy Darnell about the nature of being a public figure in the realm of sexuality. I'll probably do an episode at some stage around sort of what's happened with Curious Creatures. And I'm planning or fantasizing on doing a whole bunch of episodes after that on where I think the gender movement needs to go. I'm quietly a little bit excited about that, a lot excited about that. But in truth, I'm sort of doing one step at a time at the moment, and I have no idea what's next. It's a nice way to go through life. You should try it out sometime. Or not. But if you're wondering if I'm dropping this podcast, at least at this point in time, no, that's not how I envision the future playing out. So our love would appear to be safe, to the extent that love can ever be considered safe. And so to today's question, what's it like being a public figure in the field of sex? What's it like being a public figure in the field of sex, sexuality, I guess? I might actually start off on this one, and I imagine since this is more of a personal thing, I might just give us freedom to go a little slower and take a little more time, because it's just going to be our stories, I think. For me, what I first get to thinking about is just what an extraordinary privilege it is to be able to have a voice on topics that I care really deeply about. For me, it was one thing to be able to move into the realm of workshops and historically counselling and so forth, because they were just areas that were so passionate. The whole realm of sexuality and gender and so forth is just a real area of interest. And so, yeah, I guess now that I am becoming more of a public figure, just being able to have a voice is just amazing. I feel like every couple of days I thank my stars for being able to be in that position. I think it's also a really tricky journey. I think the areas of sexuality and self-development tends to attract a lot more critical assessment than other fields do, because it's just such deeply personal content. So like, for instance, if I was an architect and I came up with a drawing style or a building design style, and someone doesn't like it, it's not so very personal and it's not so confronting for them, for if I was to then go and build that building. But in the realm of sexuality and self-development, it's so much more personal. It taps into all of our hurts, and I think a lot of people feel really strongly about what should and shouldn't happen in the world of sexuality. And so it can be a pretty wild ride, putting thoughts and opinion out there, and it can be pretty strong. I know of other people who were running events and forums in the realm of sexuality and so forth, and have basically stopped doing it because the blowback and the criticism has been too strong for them to bear. And I know for myself, I have a support group, like quite a formal support group of peers that I meet with. I also have, I kid you not, I've got three separate supervisors, just because the area is so nuanced and complicated and tricky, and they all specialize in different aspects of it. And sometimes I have sessions with all three of them simultaneously, but mostly just one at a time according to their area of specialization. But I think that's a level of support that, I know for myself I need. And again, if I was an architect, I don't feel like things would be quite that intense. And I just want to apologize to architects. I'm really sorry. I'm talking about you like one group. I really don't know what that whole scene is like, and maybe it's really intense for you as well. So my apologies, dear architect friends. I love what you design and build. I think within our, so I identify most of the time as part of a queer community, or I sort of identify as non-gendered myself, if I can. And I know even just speaking within my community, we just simply don't agree on most things in relation to sexuality. And so when one wades in and takes a stand or takes an opinion or voices a perspective, it is just literally not possible to please all the people all the time. So yeah, you wind up in some passionate territory. Yeah. But yeah, mostly I love it. Mostly I love being out. I love being out on this topic, and I love the inner work that flows from it. And I'm back where I began. It's just such a privilege. Even with the complexity, I am in my happy spot. So whatever life choices have led me to this point, I'd do them all again. Yeah, that's my funny little rave, I think, about being a public figure in the field of sex. Perhaps if we go to Cindy, what are your thoughts on being a public figure in the field of sex and sexuality?
It's really, it's interesting. And, like, you know, I agree, you know, that it's absolutely, it's a privilege. And especially in Australia, where at a public level, at a broader sort of mainstream public level, we don't get to have a lot of conversations about sex that much. And when we do, they are often quite sort of juvenile and giggly and often not especially helpful. So the opportunities that I have when I do work in broader mainstream media to bring a level of importance to discussions around sexuality is absolutely a privilege. And the more that my profile increases in that regard, the more I hope to create a space of permission for people to be able to talk about this. Not to say that sex has to be serious all the time, absolutely not. But when the default setting, which tends to be what happens in Australia, our cultural default setting when we feel uncomfortable is to make a joke about something, and that's great, and that's a really helpful mechanism to manage discomfort. However, when that's the sole response to discomfort, we're going to have a problem. And because the tendency in Australia is to default to the, you know, the larrikin and the jokester, we often miss having more important conversations about sex and revealing the vulnerability. So I recognize that the position I have as someone who is often a go-to spokesperson in the broader media for sexuality really is a privilege. At a personal level, it's a bit difficult because,
yeah, you know, how about that?
You know, if I want to get laid, Rog, if I want to get laid, I might have to water down what I do for a living. And, you know, because the folks that I might want to get it on with, I sort of make it a rule within myself. I don't screw the crew. So I don't shag people that I work with. I certainly don't shag my clients. And I tend to avoid hooking up with people even in the sex education community just because it gets messy and weird and awkward. So I don't get my meat where I get my bread, you know? So
I love all of the language you have around this. This is so great. I feel like you must have had to explain this so many times.
Because when I'm looking on the hunt, as it were, I use a variety of options, and this is partly why I go overseas so much, because I'm not known, and I can be me. And that's not to say that, like, right now I'm not being me. I am being me, but there are many me's. There are multiple authenticities that I have, and the work me and the me that wants to play are not necessarily incompatible with each other, but they bring different things. And I think for any sort of prospective lovers that I might have, they need to have the conversation of what I do for a job apparently is intimidating.
It's funny, there's a couple of things that there's a couple of concepts Like one is that you would think that as you move more and more into specialization and professionalization within your field, that the world of options would open and expand, but it actually doesn't. It gets tighter and narrower and tighter. Yeah. So that's one thing. Another thing, this is a whole nother topic potentially, is when you get a certain level of professionalism about you and skill and experience and so forth, again, it just starts to become intimidating, and a lot of people struggle to breach that gap. And a lot of people, even when you say, no, I just adore and enjoy hanging out with you, you are absolutely worth it for exactly what you are, I'm not sitting here assessing you on skill levels or anything like that. It's very hard. We're all such egotistical people. It's very hard for people to believe that and flow.
It's really difficult. I mean, even my most recent holiday, when I was meeting people, brand new people who didn't know who I was, and, you know, the conversation comes up about what do you do? And I sometimes I tell them the whole truth, and sometimes I just say I'm a therapist and I leave it at that. You know, people, when I say I'm a sex and relationship therapist, I get, you know, the responses I get are either deathly silent, just nothing, you know, cockroaches, tumbleweeds, or they will start to tell me all of their sex problems. Yeah. Or they are terrified that I'm going to sit there and analyze them. And I'm like, you know, mate, you're not paying me. Yeah. I'm not at work now. I'm just sitting here having a pina colada on the beach. You asked me a question. I answered it. Let's talk about something else. So, I think that thing that, you know, if you meet a doctor, are you going to sort of whip out you take your shoe off and your sock and ask them about your tinea? You're not necessarily going to do that. Or you might, but.
Oh,
you
know, yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Yeah, with sex and relationship, as a sex and relationship therapist, that people perceive that as somehow intimidating, especially if sexuality is not something that they've ever thought about or talked about or whatever. And so that can be really problematic from a dating perspective for me. So I know if any of your listeners would like to date me, go ahead. Wow, you need to start a dating podcast, Rog. So,
I know this conversation's also really, really present always amongst the sex worker community, because the rank difference of skill and ability and so forth, you just get into that moment where you're with someone and they ask you what you do, and it's the make or the break. There's every chance that that's the moment you lose them. So through intimidation. Barbara, what are your thoughts on what it's like being a public figure in the field of sex? And by the way, Cindy, thank you so much. And thank you so much for that really personal take on that.
Oh, you're welcome.
The topic of the line between personal and professional is something we spend a lot of time in the urban, talking about at the Urban Tantra Professional Training Program, because so much of what you say I relate to, so I'm not going to repeat a lot of that. I just want to look at the whole question of setting boundaries, as Cindy referred to media. I will get a phone call, a text message or a Facebook message or something that says, just saw you on HBO here in Liverpool. And I'm like, whoa, hey, I'm in my bathrobe trying to have a coffee. I didn't expect to enter into a public conversation about something I did 15 years ago that's still airing, you know, while I was just trying to wake up. So one of the things we look at first in the training program and have discussed is the question of setting boundaries. Like, I had a question the other day that was, how many sex partners had I had? And, you know, normally these I don't answer, but this seemed to be a bit more serious, and I had a minute and I was having that cup of tea. And I started engaging by email with this fellow, and I was partially doing it to see where my boundaries were. And we narrowed it down and said, well, I have a pretty broad view of sex, so I really couldn't tell you. And he kept trying to narrow it down till he got to penis in vagina. How many times has that happened? And I went, I don't answer that. You've just found my boundary. I'm not teaching anymore. That you just crossed, you just hit the line. And he was very polite. It's just that's not a question I feel comfortable answering with someone I've never met. So beyond, you know, and prior to that, I was using it as an educational tool. Well, why are you focused on that? Or what do you mean by sex? And we were having an educational discussion. And I was, my intention is always to provide permission and possibilities for people. So if a personal story of mine will give someone else needed permission or show them some possibilities, I will tend to go there. And then, and you never know when it's coming, you just got to learn to feel it when it happens. There'll be this place where you go, no, 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 I don't reveal that. And for someone who's written so much about and done so much on film about what it is I do sexually, it's been interesting to find my own boundaries. It's been a learning curve for me. And I think anyone who is out there in the world sexually more publicly than some other people, and that could just be you in your personal life are more out there than your community. You just have to find where your boundaries are. And if you think you don't have any, then you need to take a breath, step back and find them. Yeah. Because we all have boundaries and we all need to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because, you know, public figure in sex ranges from the community level to the international. And it's all a stage of degree. And anybody who does anything that isn't behind a firmly locked door will in some way someday be a public figure around sexuality.
Yeah. And it's this very weird interplay in our fields of choice where at some stage you do have to be personal about it. You do have to practice and talk about your own sex life and your own relationship experiences and so forth. So at some stage you have to cross that line and get quite personal and quite exposed. But then, yeah, so I agree with you completely, Barbara. It just means that at some stage you are also going to have to work out where that line is, because you go too far with that and you've got your personal information splashed all over the internet and people reading and misinterpreting things. And that's a really difficult moment in sport.
Yeah. And also you go out of ethics, you know, because boundaries are how you hold your ethics. Who you do what with, what you share, what you don't, what you keep private. That's where your ethics are also rooted. And if you're going to be any kind of public figure or example to other people around sex or anything else, you have to know where your ethics are. And people go, well, what should my ethics be? I said, you know, I don't really care. I just want you to have some and stick to them and be transparent about them.
Yeah, transparency of ethics is, yes, oh, love that. Thank you for saying it. I know that for me, like just as we move towards finishing, one of the things I wasn't so much expecting was the impact on not being able to play in public, and I didn't even know that that was such an important thing for me. But there's a couple of parts to it. One is that I can't afford to have someone see a small section of play that I do with someone else and misunderstand or misinterpret that and then go away and say certain things based on what they saw. And the other thing is I now have taught a couple thousand people in workshops, and I can't recognize, I don't remember who I've taught anymore. Right. And so being in public play situations, especially if there's alcohol involved, things escalate, or rather things elevate incredibly quickly, and you can go from just having a casual conversation with a friend to being involved in all sorts of elaborate juicy situations with people you should not be involved with, or rather, if I speak in the first person, people I should not be involved with. So I've now put in place, I basically don't play in public, and I also can't get drunk at certain styles of events because, yeah, things just get too wild too quickly.
Yeah. Yep, good advice.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts from either of you on this question of what's it like being a public figure in the field of sex?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the main thing, just to, you know, empathize there with you around there, I didn't realize it would be as lonely as it is because of the stigma that, you know, I was at an event last night, which was not a sex-related event. It was a theater opening And, you know, it was great and it was fabulous and there were lots of, you know, wonderful things happening. And as you're moving around the room chatting to people and I, you know, the question always comes up, what do you do? And I tell them, and there's just that awkwardness that if I had said, you know, I was a gardener or an architect, it wouldn't have been nearly as awkward. And that, as much as it, you know, I'm used to it, I've been doing it for so many years, it still is, it's still a little bit of a burden to carry around. And I look forward to the day that I can say what I do for a living and people are, you know, react in the same way as if I had said I was a gardener, that it becomes just such a, oh, okay, nice, you know, as opposed to a, ooh, or a raised eyebrow or, you know, shame or embarrassment or whatever coming up and having to perpetually be the recipient of that.
Yes.
Take its toll, you know?
and people sometimes wonder why folks like us tend to hang out with folks like us.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's partly because it's very hard to step outside of this world.
Yeah, it is. So I wish, you know, they didn't tell me that when I was learning in the initial stages, but prepare for the loneliness of it. But it can be quite lonely. So for any potential, you know, fledgling sex educators or sex therapists out there.
My advice, hang out with artists. They don't care.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Well, that's as
just
beautiful
to
a
them,
note.
It's just another art.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of my friends are performers, and that's possibly why, because, you know, they're actors or comedians or writers and that kind of thing. And
hang
they
out with performers and artists.
Yeah, they don't care.
Open-minded in one area often means open-minded in another.
Yes, exactly.
All right, friends, thank you so much for fronting up to that question so personally and so vulnerably. I really appreciate that.
Pleasure.
Hey there, listener. I'd like to make you a little proposal. I love making this podcast for free because it helps me spread the word about sex positivity. But I could use your help in spreading the word just by sharing this episode, if that's not too absurd. For every 10 stories that you listen to, please recommend it to someone that might like it too. This is not a real contract, for you got no say. I would if I could frame it some other way. And if sharing's not for you, that's fine. There's nothing to do. Please listen without guilt to this podcast I built.